Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Erica White, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi, ramen, izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And today's theme is udon, a traditional Japanese noodle, which is not fully discovered in this country yet, but it can be as tasty and interesting as ramen. So my guest today is Kyoko Oyobe, who grew up in a family that owns udon noodle restaurants in Japan, and she is a successful jazz pianist and composer here in New York. So hello and welcome to the show, Kyoko.
Hi.
So I met you through a mutual friend, Mitch Borden, who owns the legendary jazz club Smalls in West Village.
Yeah.
And one day I went to your concert, and during the performance, you passed around handmade sushi for the audience. And I thought, I really like this person.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
Right, but it was so memorable. And the sushi was tasty too.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we'll play a couple of your songs today. But first, could you tell us about your family business?
Yeah, my father, he started working at a udon restaurant mm. in Osaka when he was 20 years old. Mm. And he was asked to be a main chef at the udon restaurant in Okayama. After a few years, he worked
okay,
in Osaka.
So Okayama is somewhere between Osaka and Hiroshima.
Hiroshima,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he moved to Okayama mm-hmm. to work at the restaurant, mm-hmm. and then he met my mother mm. after a few years, and they got married.
Right.
And then they opened udon restaurant 37 years ago. Mm. Yeah. And then I have four brothers and one sister, mm-hmm. and then three of my brothers took over the business, and then they opened udon restaurant, like four restaurants in Okayama, mm. and then they opened one in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very passionate.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So, and then they're called the Oyobe brothers, you said?
Yes.
Right. So, so cool. Are they coming to New York sometime soon?
I hope so.
Yeah,
one more brother was talking about it. Mm. So hopefully it will happen in the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
And you have a weekly concert at the udon restaurant.
Maybe.
Right. And you love food, but instead of joining a family business, you chose to play jazz here in New York. So yeah. How did it happen?
How it happened? I started playing the piano when I was 4 years old. Mm. And then first of all, I was just playing piano for myself, just pleasure. But when I was 19 years old, I met one piano player who played improvisation next to me. Mm. Actually, I'm sorry. My parents used to have a private concert at our house.
I heard that was incredible. Like,
yeah.
It's not just the neighbors, but someone like you know, Terumasa, you know, like
yeah,
the famous, really big yeah. names.
Yeah, we had like certain space at our house. Mm. So one day my mother started inviting those musicians and we had a private concert. I mean, mm. private, but it's public concert mm. for everybody.
Oh, okay.
So first of all, we served dinner mm. and then drink for people, customers, audience. And then they eat and then they listen to great
oh, wow.
concerts. And after the concert, one was a piano player. Played next to me, and then he played improvisation, mm. and I was so inspired. I mean, I was so moved. Mm. What was that? Because I never Wow. Knew about improvisation.
Mm. So that was jazz.
That was jazz, yeah.
Right. Oh, so that's how you got into jazz.
Yes.
Okay, it's amazing. And your mother must be really into music and also a good entrepreneur to organize such an influential event.
She's like, since they have six children, mm. my mother is really like, how is it? Energetic mm. person, always mm. positive, always like thinking for people and then try to do best for people. Mm. And then there's just like having concert, like she was not really into music because they are so busy just raising their kids and then working at the restaurant, but she wanted to help her friends doing concert. That's why we started and then, but because of my mother, I mm-hmm. started.
Right, so didn't even realize what she did to create a star in jazz. Right, so, and then you came to New York.
Yes.
And that was in 2000 that you started to travel to New York. And why New York?
Because the one with the drummer I was playing with, that was actually my first band, in my life, he used to live in New York. He was Japanese, but he used to live in New York. But he was in Japan for 1 year, and then that time we played together. And he kept telling me, "Kyoko, if you're serious about jazz, you should come to New York at least once." Mm. So I decided to come to New York once.
And it didn't become just once. And
the first fall, I came to New York for 3 weeks with my backpack.
Wow.
And I just went around all jazz crowds and listened to music and went to jam session, play with musicians. And then I met incredible, great musicians. I was really inspired and moved. And I said, wow, 3 weeks was not enough. I have to stay to get those like real music, jazz.
Right. And I read your previous interview, and you said in that interview you got detained a couple times at the JFK airport because of the immigration. So passionate. And
because
you kept coming back.
Yeah, I kept coming back. Like I stayed for 3 months and I went back to Japan and worked and saved some money and then came back. I did that 7 times in 3 years.
Okay.
So every time I came back, and at the airport, the immigration officer took me to the different room. And
why so often? Suspicious.
Yes, suspicious. Exactly. I was so passionate about jazz and studying. So it was okay at the end.
You survived. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Right. But you ended up working with Frank Hewitt and John Michael Polk and Gil Coggins, those big names. So how did you get acquainted with those big musicians?
Old man I met at small jazz club.
Okay.
Yeah. I was Frank Hewitt. He passed away, let's say maybe more than 10 years ago. But when I listened to his playing at small, I was really surprised. And then, wow, this is real sound, jazz sound, blues. And then it was great.
Right. So you got inspired. And then, so in October 2005, you moved to New York and then performing with your own band,
yes.
group, and places like, again, it's Smalls and Fat Cat.
Yes.
Right? So what's the biggest challenge or challenges for you to be a successful New York as a musician?
Well, I say it's about... in New York, there are so many great musicians, and there are a lot of competitions, I think. But in that, you still have, you have to have strength to keep your good spirit, and you have to keep believing in yourself, and you have to keep doing what you want to do. I would say that.
Yeah. You always have a good smile and energy, so
thank you.
It's working.
Thank you.
Right. All right, and then now you have 3 albums, and the latest one is called Happy Silence, so which just came out in May. So what is the theme of the album? Why Happy Silence?
Happy Silence is the title of the tune, which is in the album. Happy Silence is, I collaborated with a Japanese novelist, Her name is Louis Kodemari. She published the novel called Love Always. And I'm appealing in the novel as a jazz pianist, Kyoko Yabe.
Oh, wow.
And after I read the novel, I was very inspired by her story. And I wrote Shunko's Happy Silence.
Mm.
Yeah.
So let's listen to your song from the album. Mm. Which one would you recommend?
I will recommend The Fattest Cat in New York. Mm-hmm. This is I wrote this tune after I moved to New York. I was so lonely because I grew up with a big family, and I was so lonely that I couldn't speak English, and then I didn't know what's going to happen to me. I didn't know anything. I was so stressed out, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't stop eating. And then, of course, I gained a lot of weight. And then I ate again, and it was terrible. But one of my friends told me, Kyoko, you should eat more, and you should be the fattest pianist in New York, and you'll be famous. And I imagined about it, like, becoming the fattest pianist and playing piano, and it's so funny. So I laughed about myself. Then I felt better, and I could face myself, and I could face my problem.
Nice.
Then the problem overeating went away little by little. But I thought I wanted to write a tune about experience I had. And then the message I have for this tune is, when you have a hard time, sometimes it's better that you just laugh about it and be positive, and you can do it.
Nice. Well, I should remember this lesson.
Right. You're doing that.
Well, thank you. So let's listen to The Fattest Cat in New York from the new album, Happy Silence.
Thank you.
That is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so fun and upbeat and there's nice, yeah, good energy in it. So, now, shall we talk about udon, which is another passion of yours? So, first of all, what is udon?
What is udon? Udon is a udon noodle is a kind of thick type of noodle, which is made with wheat flour and then salted water.
Okay. And I mean, out of classic Japanese noodles, soba is made from buckwheat and wheat and water, and ramen is made from the same wheat, salt, water, and they add a kanshi, which is sodium and potassium carbonate. So udon is different.
Different, yes.
Right. Okay. And why I checked the statistics, as you know, the recent statistics by the Japanese government of rice and the wheat-based noodle products, ramen was 53% of the whole production, and soba was 8%, and udon was 39%. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very popular, obviously.
Yes.
So you should pay more attention to udon here in New York.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, it's like a pasta. Are there a fresh one, fresh udon, dried one? What's the variation?
Yeah.
So, you know, like usually if you go to an Italian restaurant, it's better, right? If it's fresh. Fresh made pasta. Is it the same thing at the udon restaurant too?
I mean, when you go to udon restaurant, I think I would say most of the udon restaurants, they serve fresh udon. And then, of course, there are a lot of difference of the taste between fresh and then dried noodles. Fresh one, it has like, what is most important is called koshi, the texture.
Okay.
And then, I don't know if dried noodle can have texture.
Right. So it's more bouncing back, more like chewier.
Chewier, or it's difficult to explain in English, but
I think it's a nodogoshi.
Nodogoshi,
That means it's like a, you know, the feeling that something passes you through your throat and it feels satisfying and comfortable.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, of course, taste is different.
Right. Does it make a little, I don't know, when I have a fresh udon, it tastes a little sweeter than dried one. I don't know, it's just me, but I think
maybe. Yeah, you are the judge of Iron Chef, so
I'm just making up, maybe.
No, right. I will be careful and then try to taste it.
Yeah, because you grew up with the best one, so. All right, and do you know the history of udon, where it come from?
You know what, I never cared about history of udon, so I looked up the Wikipedia after you asked me about it, and then it's saying the one with the monk brought udon from China. That's what I read.
Well, like any other noodles that exist in Japan, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And so, you know, your family restaurant, basically you have different kinds of udon, right? Right. So it's always fresh one.
It's always fresh one. And my father, he developed his own style of udon. In Okayama is kind of, it's next Kagawa prefecture, where it's Sanuki udon come from. Sanuki udon is very thick, but my father's udon is not thick like that. But my father, he used a lot of different, like 6 different kind of dried fish to make good fish broth.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
it's a lot of, wow, a lot of work. And you, of course, you have every day you make udon.
Every day he makes udon. And then he makes, I think, at least 2 different thickness of udon. And when he makes hot udon, he uses little thicker udon. And when he makes cold udon, he makes a little thinner.
Right, that makes sense, because if it's hot, it cooks through.
Yeah.
So it's better to make it a little thicker and then keep the texture.
And then my parents, they cared about each customer. Like we say, like, it's hard. I don't say al dente for udon, but
al dente,
like,
right?
they are very careful to how to boil them, because it just maybe 30 seconds makes big difference of koshi texture. So and then each person has like their favorite texture. So it's interesting. It's very deep world.
Right. Maybe your father knows which customer likes what kind of texture.
Yeah, they remember.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Let's take a quick break here. And when you come back, we'll talk about different types of udon and more songs by you.
Thank you.
So please stay with us.
Was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Kyoko Oyobe, who grew up in a family that owns udon noodle restaurants in Japan, and she is a successful jazz pianist and a composer here in New York. So, how do you eat udon? What kind of recipes are there?
We eat udon as hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hot udon, like most like simple one, is called kake.
Mm-hmm.
It's with it's hot one. Yeah, hot with hot fish broth, mm-hmm. with maybe scallion, mm-hmm. A piece of fish cake.
Okay,
and then maybe bonito flakes.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And, you're from the West, and then I grew up in Tokyo area. Mm. And kake udon, you're going to mention that, you know, the difference of the regions. Mm. But to me, it's like, it's simple. And I don't think I had a fish sauce. It's more like a bonito flake and kombu mixture. So it's interesting you say that because it's so regionally diverse, it sounds like. So that is the simplest form. It's just dashi and noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's kake udon.
Yeah.
Right. And
the cold one is called like maybe zaru.
Ah, okay. Mm, good for the season.
You dip with chilling fish broth.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the noodle is usually, it's always chilled with ice and really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dip the noodle in the sauce. Right. We need it now.
Yes.
Right. And any other typical variations that, you know, the beginners of udon should know about?
Maybe hot one could be tempura udon.
Mm-hmm.
With fish broth with tempura.
Mm-hmm.
And then scallion.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe kitsune.
Mm-hmm. Kitsune is topped with deep fried thin tofu.
Mm-hmm. Right. The cooked with like a sweet taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And the kitsune means fox. And the yeah. color looks like fox. Like they call it kitsune one,
right?
That's funny. Right. And what about the tsukimi?
Tsukimi is like you just drop the raw egg mm-hmm. onto udon. And mm-hmm. you put hot fish broth or mm-hmm. white. It's, right. it's simple, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, fish or depending on the region, fish mm-hmm. broth or could be kombu mm-hmm. or different kinds of broth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or I recommend curry udon. Mm-hmm. You might find curry udon maybe at over the restaurant in Japan. Mm-hmm. But my family has special curry udon. It's so good. It's in even in summertime. It's hot, but it's hot curry makes you like, smile. It's mm-hmm. good.
Right. Yeah, actually, we had a Gogo Curry present, Tomoko yeah. Omori a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And we talked about the Japanese curry. It's thicker
yeah.
and it's nothing to do with the Indian curry.
Yeah, but even it's different than Japanese curry mm-hmm. because we cook with fish broth.
Okay.
So it's... I don't know how to say it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's more layered flavors and complicated. Yeah. And I think because you have to top it the udon. It's like a cold udon topped with curry or no, it's a hot one.
Maybe yeah, but we serve with hot udon.
Okay,
with hot curry.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. And right, so it can be cold or hot, mm-hmm. and depending on, you can be, just like a ramen, you can be creative. The mm-hmm. udon is like a white
yeah.
canvas for chefs.
Yeah, there are many toppings or, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, right. And so we just mentioned a big difference between the regions and, the eastern part of Japan and the western part of Japan, mm-hmm. they are different, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
I think... Well, if we say between Tokyo mm-hmm. and Kansai, Kanto, Kansai, mm-hmm. big difference is the color of dashi.
Okay.
People say the dashi fish broth in Tokyo mm-hmm. Looks dark mm-hmm. because of the difference of soy sauce.
Mm.
But Kansai is it's not dark. They right. For them, what is more important is fish broth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and I heard in Kanto, the eastern part of Japan, they tend to be based on bonito flake dashi,
mm-hmm.
whereas in the Kansai, the eastern western part of Japan, it's kombu based because the Kansai area is what is softer and it's ideal to extract flavors from kombu. So, and of course, Tokyo people tend to use more darker soy.
Mm-hmm.
And in kaiseki restaurant, you don't see much, darker soy. It's very mm-hmm. light.
Right.
So people say in Kanto, the Kansai udon is too thin, and then Kansai people say Tokyo udon is too thick and too salty, and they just have...
I never try udon in Tokyo.
Okay.
But in Tokyo, I think it's soba noodles are more popular. And then a lot right. of ramen restaurants. So
exactly.
I never tried udon in Tokyo, mm. so I cannot say the difference because right. I never taste it. But people say that.
Mm. Mm. Well, maybe that's another reason udon is not so, popular throughout, even in New York, because Tokyo people don't eat udon so much,
mm.
and the Kansai people tend to eat more. Mm-hmm. So it's from Japan, but it may be a regional, difference in consumption too.
Like through working at my parents' restaurant mm-hmm. when I was there, I saw many customers come every day to mm-hmm. eat udon mm-hmm. for their lunch or dinner
mm-hmm.
every day. So udon is, for me, udon is very light. It's not right. heavy like ramen, so you can eat every day.
Mm.
For me, it's like everyday things.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Right. And for instance, tanuki udon, that's raccoon udon. I don't know why, this may be because of color. And it's different between the two regions in Kanto. Just the eastern part, tanuki udon means a topping piece of deep fried flour, which is a byproduct of tempura. And in Kansai, it looks more like a kitsune, the fox. Udon topped with deep-fried thin tofu.
Mm.
So there's a big difference.
Right? It's interesting.
Right. So what about your family restaurant? So it's thinner. You don't serve any Tokyo style, like the soy is very light, little used.
The fish broth is very important for us.
Mm-hmm.
So as I talked before, my father used like 6 different kind of dried fish. I mean, of course, he used kombu, mm-hmm. seaweed,
right.
and then point flakes. And then after I don't know how many years, like 44 years, he still tried to develop himself every day mm. and try to see what he can do better, right. better. And he's creating...
Mm. really, right. So the fish base is... first, when he learned,
yeah.
or he then based on that he developed.
He learned in Osaka,
mm-hmm.
and then I was there like last month, mm-hmm. and I saw he was using shrimp skin.
Mm-hmm. Right, with the shells. Right.
Yeah, the
right.
dried shrimp shell. Mm-hmm. He was using that for dashi.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was so deep. His dashi was so deep and so good.
Mm.
And of course, he is making great udon. And sometimes he changes the thickness,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little thicker or thinner.
Aye.
Interesting. And my brothers also they're trying to make their own style based with my father's style.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it sounds like, you know, the New York chefs, they are really into ramen now, but they can pay attention to udon. I mean, they can do something new.
Please do.
Right.
It's good.
Right. Yeah, I think udon is more similar to pasta noodles. So I think it's easier for them to come up with something, like, because they're used to utilizing that kind of noodles.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
More udon restaurants in New York.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, as my question here is, does udon inspire you as a musician? Or you have a lot of memories, right? Family memories?
Yes. Family? It's inspired me a lot because mm-hmm. I grew up with udon. And I grew up at the restaurant. Like, I was working there. So, there are so many memories. But what I have is my parents... They have a great spirit serving their udon.
Mm.
They don't say that, but I could feel that they are making people happy by just serving a bowl of udon. And then I remember, like, my mother is really lively and energetic, and then she said, "Welcome, the waitress, says, "いらっしゃいませ."
Mm.
It's really nice. And then she meant to do that. Welcome people.
Right, not just word.
And then I had like one guy, one day he came and he told us the story. At one point his wife was super sick. She got cancer.
Mm.
And then he was really depressed and he was thinking to kill himself, like suicide.
Oh, wow.
But he came to our restaurant and my mother said, "Yashai, okay, welcome."
Mm.
And then he ate a bowl of udon,
mm-hmm.
and then he became so relieved.
Right.
And then he stopped, he became positive again.
Right.
And then when I had that story, well, that's it. So, I don't know, my father is a simple guy, and my mother is like that. They don't talk, like they don't push like what they are thinking, but I can just feel what they don't. And I want to... the same things through my music.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put out my good spirit.
Right.
Like I can make people happy
mm-hmm.
through my music.
Right.
That's something like that.
So let's listen to a music song called Udon from your album Happy Silence now.
Yeah. Oh,
That is awesome. So, I don't know if you heard it. It's like the last summer was oishi. That's delicious. And yes. You heard slurping.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes us hungry. All right. So, how is udon important in the Japanese culture?
Well, udon is... It's important for me, but udon is like a soul food for us. Mm. It's everyday things for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the station,
mm-hmm. like subway or train station,
you can see the udon restaurant where you like standing. You eat stand.
Right. It's like a pizza corner pizza place.
Right.
Yeah. There's a vending machine and you can get tickets. And then.
Or there's some serious udon restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like kaiseki.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's very deep. And then
it's
interesting that the variety of...
Right.
Yeah,
because I heard a long time ago, udon was, depending on the region, there was a food for festival, like special occasion historically. So, yeah, there are different variations.
Yeah.
Right. So, I'm sure you cook udon at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do you get the noodles?
Well, if I have time, I want to make udon noodles, but I don't. So, I go to Japanese supermarket, like... Sunrise Market
mm-hmm.
or Dainobu
mm-hmm. in Midtown.
In Midtown, or it's one is in East Village.
Okay,
Sunrise is mm-hmm. in East Village, and then Dainobu is on 6th Avenue and like 13th Street.
Okay,
so I go there for and then get some. Yeah,
right. And do you have any tips for somebody like us who never cooked udon at home?
Mm-hmm.
You get noodles, and do you have any tips to make it tasty?
Well, I think the most important thing is dashi broth.
Mm.
Because noodle, it's not easy to make. So if you make nice fish broth, dashi, then it will make a big difference.
Right. Yeah. So you can get 60 different kinds of fish bones like your parents. But you
can still try it again.
Right. And a bonito flake.
Bonito flakes.
Maybe some kombu.
Kombu, yeah.
Right.
And then nice mirin, soy sauce.
Okay. So, by the way, mirin is the fermented... liquid like sake
and sugar,
right? And usually, like I think 40-50% of sugar. It's very sweet
mm-hmm.
and around 14% alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the most important seasonings in Japanese pantry.
Yes,
right. Okay. So, if you don't feel like cooking, do you have any recommendation for udon restaurant in New York? Oh, you never bother.
Sorry.
You don't.
It's difficult.
Okay. That's fair. Your parents must be very happy.
Oh.
Right. Oh, well. So thank you for joining us today, Kyoko.
Thanks so much.
And for our listeners who are interested in your music, do you have a website?
Yes, I have my website if you Google kyokoyobe.com.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's KYOKOOYOBE.
Yes.
KyokoOyobe.com.
Yes.
Right. And you can buy your music from through your website?
Yes. Or you can find it on Amazon
mm-hmm.
or CD Baby or iTunes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. So take a look. Right. We'll end this show with Kyoko's song. So which one would you pick and what is the title, inspiration?
I'd pick a Happy Silence, which is the title of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Silence.
Right.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you have any questions or comments, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org, and you can also reach me at akikokatayama.com. Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org. I'll see you next week.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.